Bind me, gag me, take me to the bunny ranch. People dying, kill me in the packing house. Even you have to.
All right. Hey. I always forget to say hey. Hey, everybody. This is Macaulay Culkin. Welcome to the Bunny Ears Podcast. This week we have a really, really fun guest. He's sitting in my living room right now. The one, the only, Mr. Tony Hawk.
Hello, hello. Thanks for preempting it with a fun guest.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if I've been introduced like that before, so I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you got it.
No pressure. Now I got to be fun, though.
Yeah, now you got to be fun and okay. Funny and charming and
shoot,
everything.
That's a lot.
Yeah, you got to be on, dude.
All right, all right.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Now we're cooking with gas.
I'm ready.
All right, cool. So, yeah, we were talking off mic. You said you live in San Diego?
Yeah, I live in North County, San Diego, but I have to come to L.A. quite a bit for various things. Your podcast, not
oh yeah,
no, there's no exemption.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, you drive all the way up here just for my podcast? Wow, man.
I did today.
Oh really?
Yes, absolutely.
That's super sweet. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I know you had asked me a long time ago, and I kept trying to combine it with some other thing I had to do in LA, mm-hmm. and nothing was really lining up.
Huh.
So here we are.
Oh, look at you. Well, thanks a lot. You drove all the way from San Diego.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would have drove down to Tijuana.
Wow. Yeah. We could have met there. Yeah. It would have been an entirely different vibe, I think.
Yeah, the Caesar Hotel. Go there, have a Caesar salad. Yeah, it'd be great. The home of the Caesar salad.
That's right. Yeah, I actually, I read that history.
Yeah, it was. Well, I stayed there like when I've like with my band, we played there a couple of times, and we always stayed at the Caesar Hotel. And they kept on saying, "Oh, this is the home of the Caesar salad." I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, no
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
the Caesar salad
yeah.
made in Tijuana.
I met a chef from Tijuana, and he told me the whole story.
No, no, it's actually for real. It's on Wikipedia, yeah. So it's got to be true.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. But they make it right in front of you. The anchovies, and they do the whole like they do like it's a show. It's a rundown hotel, and like it's crappy rooms.
And that's
all
their
the doorknobs are sticky. You know, like that
oh
kind
wow.
of thing. But you know what? The little cafe yeah. down there, it's quite classy. They actually,
I was gonna say that's their hook.
Yeah, I think they all wear like bow ties and everything. I mean, it's actually like it's completely different than what you think. You know, yeah, yeah.
So you and I met a long time ago. I don't know if you remember, but you were on TRL Live.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I was there.
Oh my gosh. I do not remember this.
It would have been 2001, maybe? 2001?
Yeah.
When TRL was the thing. People yeah. used to line the streets.
Yes,
and
exactly.
then you'd wave from the windows.
Yeah, yep. No, believe yeah. you me, it was hard getting in and out of that joint. You know,
yeah,
that's the reason why I only did it once.
You actually ended up on, we were doing, for lack of a better term, like a documentary-ish type of thing on our whole tour, because it was a big ESPN sponsored tour. And so you ended up in one of the edits of us at TRL.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, look at me. You were
in our big skate video. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, all right. I was in a skateboarding doc. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or video.
Doc,
whatever.
Yeah. Doc would be a generous
film.
Term for it.
Let's call it a film.
it was episodic, so it was an episode.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, look at me. Look at me. I'm a star. Look at me now, Mom.
There you are. You're a hardcore skate video star.
Yeah, I did it. All right.
Cool. Finally.
Yeah, finally. TRL and a skate video all in one. Look at check me out.
TRL was wild.
Yeah, well, it was also smaller than you thought. Like, it filmed
oh, yeah.
bigger. And then it's like, no, there's like 12 people in there. They make it seem like there's 100 kids in there. And it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, the crowd, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just yeah. like, yeah, even the studio itself.
20 at the most.
Yeah, there's like 20 kids yeah. in there and Carson Daly. And like, yeah,
yeah
it's
exactly.
like, that's it. You know, every boy's dream. Yeah. But yeah, I did not remember that, you know, at all.
Yeah, I mean,
that was like 18 years ago. Yeah.
And I didn't really.
I could have a kid in college.
Skating was
right
just
now.
Starting to kind of come in, and I felt very out of place doing things like that at
yeah.
the time. So mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, oh, crazy. And then you were there, and I was like, holy shit! Like, movie stars are here. Like, this is crazy. And then, so I wouldn't think I would be that memorable, to be honest, at that time.
Well, isn't that like a thing like on your Twitter or something like that? Like my lady was just telling me this, like about people who they're like, oh, Anthony Hawk, oh, like that's almost like that's like Tony
oh,
Hawk's
yeah,
name.
Yeah, 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 all every day.
It's unassuming like,
every day. Yeah. Well, it's more. I think what it is that that is one element where people see my name and my legal name is Anthony, and mm-hmm. so you're at the airport, they have to check your ID. And so a lot of the time people are like, oh yeah, I like that skateboarder. Or they'll look at me and they'll like, they try to line it up, but they can't really.
They know your name and not your face.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think what this is, they keep me in a time capsule of like the 2000s.
Yeah.
So I'm clearly much older now. And I was 30-ish when I came on their radar. Right? So now I'm 51.
Congratulations.
And I go to places and they're like, no, I can't be him. You know, or the worst reaction and the most honest is, oh, you got old. Or yeah. You look a lot different now.
Well, you're preaching to the choir. I do that. I age everybody. They're like, oh, you're Macaulay. How old? Like, I'm almost 40.
Right.
So, yeah. And then it just makes everyone, it's my curse now.
Yeah.
I make everybody feel old.
The best comeback that I've seen, especially online, was David Spade. And they're like, oh, man, you got old. And he wrote, well, I hope the same thing doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, exactly. So you said it happens like every day, essentially.
Quite a bit, yeah. It's more of a, and there's plenty of interactions. It's like, hey, you're Tony Hawk, cool, what's up? Like today, I was walking across the street from a restaurant, and this guy's like, Tony Hawk, yo,
what's up?
And those are the kind of things that I don't really share because it's not as humorous, or eventful, And so the ones that I do share are the ones where it's sort of a mistaken identity, but maybe not, but maybe so. And you know, that's and it really does
the gray areas.
It's quite a bit. And I mean, like you said, preaching the choir. You know exactly what it's like when people look at your face and like, I know that dude.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I get it all the time. That's why I never leave my house. You know,
I saw a thing of you. What was it? You were like sitting in your laptop and it was like Home Alone 2019?
Yes.
Cause that was brilliant.
Thank you. I was very proud of myself for that one. Yeah.
In fact, I think I showed it to a few different people. When you requested I do your podcast, like, look at this. This is awesome.
Yeah. No, I got some beef stroganoff on my
DoorDash.
Yes, exactly.
Coming in. Yeah.
Just a little upside down, like a snowman pillow and just just belly sticking out.
Yeah, that's great.
Hairband in, you know, yeah. Well, cause it was right when they announced like Disney Plus was talking about doing a Home Alone television
reboot.
Show.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like actually a television show, which actually is not the first time they've actually attempted to do a television show. I think the fourth Home Alone movie was a pilot, like a backdoor pilot for a television show.
Oh, okay. That was the secret incentive.
Yes, exactly. And, so it was one of those things where like the social media kind of stuff, it was like, okay, we have to do something. I was like,
yeah.
Give me an hour. I got something.
Oh, you actually did it for Disney?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I just did. No, I just did it like for my social media kind of thing.
Yeah,
I was like,
great.
So let me get this belly out. Let me. And actually, there's a couple of different photos of it, and I picked the most unflattering one, and it's one of those decisions you have to make where it's like, this is forever.
If
it's on the internet, it's not going anywhere. You know, it's my lady. She took the photo. She's like, she's like, oh, it used to be my private photo of you, but now the whole world has it.
Right.
You know, yeah. And I was like, got to share it with the world though, honey.
It is weird when you have to make that determination where it's like, all right, this is the one that's out there.
Yep. No, it's the most unflattering photo.
I have a couple of, on a much different scale, I have a couple of skate photos that just end up on stock images that I hate. Like I hate with a passion. And those are the ones that people print up.
Always.
Make you sign or ask you to sign or that they use for press. Like some newspaper does an article and they'll just grab the next stock photo. I'm like, it's a fucking bail.
Yeah.
Like I'm clearly falling right there.
Yeah.
Why is it that photo? Like, well, it's because they can see your face.
Yeah. You look great.
Yeah.
You look great when you bail. Yeah. It's very flattering.
Yeah. Wah. Poor us.
Yeah. Well, you said you have a skate like park in your house? Or your
I have backyard? I have a small skate park in the backyard.
Yeah. Hey, you got kids?
Yes. Between my wife and I, we have 6 children.
Oh my gosh. Sorry.
They're all pretty grown up. I mean, we're almost empty nesters at this point.
Gotcha.
We have 3 boys in college. One, my oldest son is 26, lives on his own, has a coffee shop. And then we have one at home and we have my daughter as well. So we have one half-time, one full-time.
Gotcha.
And it's very different because it used to be just teenage. I mean, it was like a teenage takeover of our house for a few years.
Yeah. Because they're like close
teenagers
age.
Come with a whole crew.
Of course.
And we had 3 of them.
Yikes. Yeah.
With their own crews.
Goodness.
And, it's chaos.
And I'm sure you have like a nice house and you have like skate park in the back. Like, I'm sure it was a dope place for them.
Ours
to hang
is
out.
The one where everyone would congregate.
Yeah. So are they all professional rollerbladers?
My oldest son is a pro skateboarder.
Oh, nice.
My other boys, they all skate, but they weren't trying to make a career out of it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
They're all good. Like that's the thing. It's
I mean, you'd assume so.
But it's not even, it's not me. It really is like, it's on their own terms. But they all really have their own very specialized techniques.
Oh, yeah?
That are kind of advanced. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I've said this to a few people where they have their whole crew, and some of their friends are like semi-pro skateboarders. You know, some are pretty serious. And they'll be downstairs, and they'll be like arguing over some dumb little minutia about skateboarding or about...
Well, my Siri just went off there. I have no idea.
Yes,
about
Siri.
That.
Here's my story.
Yeah.
And so they'll be arguing...
Tony Hawk's Tale.
Yeah. They'll be arguing about some dumb thing, like the origin of a skate trick or something. And I'll come downstairs like to get... you know, a glass of water or something.
And you're the goddamn godfather. You know?
And I'll walk by and I'm like, do you guys want to know the... And they'll just ignore me.
Seriously?
I have the answer to your dilemma. I can end this argument right now. And they're just like, no. Like, I'm just a dad.
Stay out of it, old man.
No, yeah, that's it. I'm just a dad in the house. I'm not the oracle of skateboarding. So it's a weird
Well, your kids sound like jerks. Jeez.
No, it's more like they see me as a dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're friends, too. Like, we're the responsible parents.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which is weird. Yeah. Even today.
You're an uncool guy.
Yeah, because we're just all just trying to get away with stuff when we were their age.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're spoiled. They're spoiled rotten. You know, yeah.
I suppose they're really good about it. They don't take it for granted.
No, I'm sure. I'm ragging on your kids.
That's okay. I do too.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
So, how many bones have you broken? Like for real?
The only bone.
Have you lost count?
No, the only bone I truly broke was my elbow.
Oof.
Which I still have screws in, and I've fractured many other bones, like fractured my pelvis twice, fractured my skull, fractured my thumb.
Evil Knievel over here, looking at just looking.
Yeah, but I have friends that have like literally broken, my son's Riley. He's broken both elbows twice.
Ouch! Jeez, that seems incredibly painful. There's a lot of nerves there.
Yeah, and when he did it, it was in the day when you had to wear that arm cast, the like bent cast.
Oh, so like
just stuck like that. Yeah,
kind of like he's Batman.
Yeah, yeah, because now it's just like some brace you put on there and take it off if you want. I've had two knee surgeries, so I've definitely had my share of pretty serious injuries to come back from.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of breaking bones is, I've been pretty lucky.
Oh, nice. All right, yeah, because me, I used to have a skateboard in my house, like as an adult kind of thing. I have a big kind of open room. It's like a loft kind of apartment in New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like a skateboarder or anything like that. I had to get rid of it from the house because pretty much I only use it as like a dolly to move furniture around
like
that.
Yeah.
Occasionally mess around, but of course, like having parties, drunk friends, stuff like that. And just like, look, I'm glad I have insurance. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
People were always wiping out my house. So I was like, I had to hide the skateboard. Like,
I bet.
Yeah, just a bunch of drunk party goers.
Yeah, as soon as they see it, like, hey.
Yeah, it's a good way to break an elbow.
Right.
You know? Yeah, it's that kind of thing. And so, yeah, no, never really got into it. You know? But I did it a little bit when I was like a kid and stuff like that. Because everyone's kind of like these punk kids, you know, get the skateboard.
Sure. Yeah, you were right at that age, too.
Yeah. But, my brother, he actually always like teases, I tease him about it because he had a chain wallet. And I was like, oh, do you skate a boy? here's your skateboard. Merry Christmas.
That's pretty good.
You ever do a chain wallet?
I did not, no.
You weren't that kind of skater?
In the skate world, that was more of a Northern California thing.
Okay, gotcha.
Because there were certain things that were just associated with regions of skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you did a chain wallet, then the idea is you're wearing Dickies and you're from SF or San Jose.
Gotcha. And you've always been Southern California?
San Diego my whole life, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, mm-hmm. There you go. And how'd you pick up the art of skateboarding?
That was through my brother. My older brother was a surfer. He's 13 years older than me.
That seemed like it was the gateway back in the day.
Pretty much,
the surfer culture.
So when he started skating, it was probably... like 76-ish, 1976, 77. And that's when skateboarding was more of a fad. And it was just like, you know, like yo-yo. It was like, oh,
yeah,
a skateboard.
Hula hoop, you know, yeah.
But the ones who were serious about it were the surfers because it was more like emulating surfing when the waves were flat. So that was why he did it. And then I just started doing it because he had some old skateboards in the garage. So I just started riding it and then found some friends who were into it. So we would do it as transportation around the neighborhood. And eventually... I got invited by one of my friends to go to the skate park with him, like the actual skate park.
Look, did they have like ramps and things like that
they
back
had
then?
Pools. So it was all empty swimming pools.
Gotcha, yeah. Like the Dogtown kind of stuff. I've seen the documentary.
But at this point, it had become a thing that there were actually bowls and facilities built for skating, even though they were swimming pools.
Gotcha.
You know, I mean, it wasn't like you're sneaking in a backyard.
And what year is this?
Around. About 77, 78.
Gotcha.
78. And so I went with him, and the moment I walked in the skate park and I saw literally people flying around, I was like,
I want to do that. Yeah.
How do they fly?
That looks cool.
Exactly. It was like, I want to learn how to fly, whatever it takes. And basically within the first year of my skating, quit playing baseball. I quit playing violin, which I regret. Had my first concussion, knocked my front teeth out.
Oh, good. I was going to say, like, I'd look at the exact same scenario and go, there's no fucking way I'm doing this. Like, it's a good way to break your ankle, knock your teeth out.
I think what's funny is that was more of a defining moment for me, because when I did actually wake up, like, from a concussion.
Were you out like a light?
I was out. Oof. Yeah. I woke up in the pro shop with an ambulance on the way.
Are you like 14 years old or something like that?
I was 11 or 12.
Oh my goodness, jeez.
And I woke up, and my first thought wasn't like, oh my God, what have I done? I'm never going to skateboard again. My first thought was, man, I got to learn how to do rock and rolls better.
Yeah, time to work more. Like, yeah,
time yeah, to, like to it was harder. More like, oh, I should have had my foot in the other position. And I think for me, that was a defining moment, because most of my friends, once they got hurt, that was it.
Yeah.
They either quit because they were afraid to get hurt, or they quit because their parents made them.
Yeah. No, I would see your injury at 11 and go, no fucking way. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate not knocking my teeth out kind of thing. Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, because I was a physical kind of kid, and I kind of did some daredevil-y kind of stuff. You know, I believe me, I've done some stupid things in my day.
But wasn't it difficult when you were, especially when doing movies, that there's a liability there and they're like, you can't be doing anything?
Oh, well, not necessarily. I mean, yes and no, but like, it's not like a television show. Like, there's certain, like, a lot of TV shows, like, you can't, it's in the contract, you can't go skiing, like, yeah. You know, you can't own a motorcycle, like things like that, like, you know, just for insurance reasons and stuff like that. When you're doing films, like, it there's a window where you're not allowed to do those kind of, but also during that window you're busy anyway, so you're not going to do that kind of stuff.
I tend to meet more musicians and things that say like, oh, I wish I could skate, but I just can't because if I break my wrist, the tour is over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I understand. There's a shorter window for a movie. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I did mostly film. Like, I didn't really didn't mess with that TV stuff. Ugh.
Ugh. Do you regret that?
No, not at all. No. I regret nothing, sir. All my life choices have led to this, you know, this life, and Tony Hawk sitting in my freaking living room right now. So there you go.
That's a good attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be me if I wasn't me.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's a... You know, I know how it goes in the film and TV industry enough that I know that there's an advantage to TV shows that go into syndication and
oh, absolutely. And all that. Oh, yeah. No, they get set up for life kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, Marianne from Gilligan's Island is, you know, making a mint, I'm sure. You
right. Know? Like, right.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. No, a lot of actors look at television, or like especially like sitcoms, you know, as kind of almost like a settling down kind of period. Like, it's like, oh, I'm having kids now. And it's like, it's a steady
pay. Oh, this is consistent.
Yes,
this is safe.
It's a consistent pay. It's the closest to a 9-to-5
and you
job.
You don't have to be doing Shakespeare.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you're not trying to run around booking gigs left and right. It's like, no, you kind of settle in. It's like, here's my 9-to-5 job, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, and especially the sitcom world. You know, a lot of people, that's when they kind of settle in. Like, okay, I'm having kids, you know, so I got to pay for those. You know, I got to pay the bills. And,
right.
And like I said, like, it can be a really sweet gig if you find a good kind of thing, stuff like that. But, I mean, I've never really like give that any major consideration.
No, Home Alone is timeless. It really is. Like,
oh, thanks. I agree.
Like, you know, kids, even my daughter is 11. It's one of her favorite movies.
Oh, good.
So congrats on all that.
Oh, thanks. You know, well, it's going to be about 30 years from when we started filming it this year. So
wow.
So it came out in 90. Like a new
okay.
I think it came out on Thanksgiving in 90.
Yep,
so yeah, it's gonna be the 30-year anniversary next year.
That's insane. Do they ever ask you to do anything?
At the 20-year thing, at the 25-year thing and stuff.
In what respect?
Just like whatever, like morning talk shows or like things like that.
Uh-huh.
And my response to all that, because I don't really have a lot of interest in it, but I mean, I dipped my toe in that like Home Alone water. I did that Google commercial last year.
Right.
I did a the show Drivers on YouTube, where I was like, I was an Uber driver, but it was like with my own background.
And, oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was like kind of a spoof on that. You know, I dipped my toe in that kind of water. But, you know, usually my response to that kind of stuff is, okay, I might be willing to do it. Rather than saying no, I said, I'll do it if you get Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern to do it. Too, you know what I mean? Like, give me yeah. some. And I know Pesci doesn't really give a shit, so he's not going to do it. So it's my way of saying no is letting Joe Pesci say no for me.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would have be so much more impactful too if obviously you're recognizable and people, but to see you all together like that would be pretty epic.
Would be kind of cute, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. It also, yeah, just gives me some cover too. Like, it doesn't look like it's just me like living in the past kind of thing. Yeah. You know, really milking that Home Alone cow, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It must be like what's his name with Big Lebowski, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Where it just follows him and he's just like, all right.
Yeah,
like,
it was just a gig I did.
High five, guys. Yeah, that was exactly. cool. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not going to your convention.
Yeah, but that movie really tied his career together. You know? Yeah. actually, we'll take a little commercial break. It's one of those things we do. We've got to keep the lights on, pay the bills, stuff like that. So, yeah.
Don't turn the dial?
Yeah. Don't
click on anything else.
Yeah, don't click on anything else. We'll be right back.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Hello, and welcome to Meditation Minute. I'm your guide, Louis Prada. Thank you for choosing me to be your Sherpa as we ascend Mount Meditation. Pay no mind to the frozen bodies that line the path. A good, long, hearty, deep breath fills in the lungs with invigorating oxygen, and my favorite part, the exhale, detoxifies the spirit. An old instructor of mine once told me that the length of a meditator's exhale is as long as their problems are serious. While I can't attest to the accuracy of that statement, I do know that breathing is at the very core of everything that's important about meditation. Before we begin today's meditation, let's practice our breathing by taking in one big, deep, cathartic breath. And let's let it out.
And we're back. We were just talking about Will Wheaton.
We were, yeah. Will Wheaton and I crossed paths in the early 90s because we both did a promotional video for the NewTek video toaster, which was the first non-linear editing system, home editing system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and and he seems like 93, you said?
So yeah, like roughly 93, 94.
A fresh-faced
Will Wheaton. They flew me to Topeka, Kansas.
Are you fucking kidding? You had to go to Topeka?
to their headquarters to skate around. And then I think he was there shooting his own promo. And we both, our payment, each of us, was a new computer.
Yeah, because it wasn't like a laptop. It was probably like a full like kind of set, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was... It was an Amiga. Commodore Amiga was the computer, and then the video toaster was a video card inside of it.
Oh, wow. There you go.
And for me, at the time, 94 was like, 93, 94 were rough years for skateboarding.
Yeah.
To get a brand new video editing system, I was like, sign me up.
Yeah, yeah. And you said you were using the video toaster stuff already.
I was already using the first version of it.
Gotcha. Like, so, to make your skate videos, stuff like that? Yeah. Back then, it was probably like...
I was doing skate videos, two SVHS decks.
Yes.
And then were my sources. And then another SVHS deck was my final.
Was the final edit. One. Yeah. And you kind of just switching between the two with the timestamps.
It was terrible.
And you had to like pause it just the right time.
Otherwise, you had to go back and rewind. Through the video toaster, you could do wraps and effects and wipes and stuff like that.
And so like back then, for all you kids out there, like back then, like it was a tape trade, really, was what it was. You know, like like tapes would kind of just float around and people would trade them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, so
there was no YouTube.
The first videos that I did for my company Birdhouse were, we charged $5. Mm-hmm. Like we just said, send us $5 in the mail. I mean, this is so illegal, but we're like, send us $5 in the mail and we'll send you a video. Mm-hmm. And we got a bunch, like we sold them out. And then those would get copied. I mean, and we were just renegade. Like we were using Beatles music and Pixies and Pink Floyd, and you know what I mean? Like, because as far as I was concerned, well, I'm not making money off from it, so
no, you're just a punk kid.
What does it matter?
Yeah, just a punk kid, you know.
Luckily, they didn't catch on in huge popularity, so I didn't get busted.
Exactly. And how old are you then? I guess, gosh, you must have been like 20 something.
Yeah, 24, 25.
Yeah, yeah, sending out tapes and all that stuff,
you know, doing the videos in my garage. And then driving them to the duplication center.
Nice, the duplication center.
Yeah, duplication center of San Diego.
It sounds so like futuristic. You know.
Yeah, it was so ghetto.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it was. Just a bunch of tape machines. You know. Yeah.
Bunch of tape machines. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When did you actually like start like professionally? When did you actually start making money doing skateboarding? Like, you know, like like rather than just kind of being a punk kid, you know, in a bunch of pools.
It was kind of slow then all at once, but the first time I made any money was around the time I was 14 or 15. And the prize money for skate competitions was usually about $150 first place.
Gotcha.
And then every once in a while, like, it would jump to 300.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I was just saving, literally saving up for a moped.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the goal.
I
remember when my bank account got to $450, and I was like, I went and bought a Honda Express.
Yeah.
Because that way I could get to the skate park by myself.
Oh, there you go.
And then around the age of 16, 17, prize money started growing. Skating started growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became stuff like, you know, in the thousands of dollars. And by the time I was 17, I was making about six figures.
Oh, wow.
And I bought a house while I was a senior in high school.
God bless you. Jeez. That's amazing.
That was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Just off of a freaking skateboard.
Just off of royalties. Yeah. Mostly it was from skateboard, signature skateboard sales.
Oh, okay. So went to merchandising.
There was a Tony Hawk model. And then that was what really was my bread and butter.
Gotcha.
And then every once in a while I get a, you know, maybe a commercial or another sponsorship, but the bulk of it was skateboards. And then around the early 90s, like 91, 92, everything dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And I found myself...
The hula hoop like fag kind of like
exactly,
wore off.
Yeah, yeah. Everything. And most, it was like a perfect storm. Skate parks started closing because of liability issues.
Yeah, of course. I would never ever open a skate park.
And then skateboarding was considered more of a fad. Like it wasn't on, you know, wasn't being used on TV anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself basically with two mortgages, a child on the way, and my income shrank by half every month.
Oh, geez.
Because it was all royalty-based.
Yeah, yeah.
And so suddenly I was like, now I'm making $5,000 a month. Now I'm making $3,000. And then at some point I was like, holy shit, I have to sell my house.
Yeah, yeah, geez.
Holy shit. It got weird, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever think about going into chain wallets?
I should have at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some skate brands doing that.
I'm sure they were. That's what,
but they're all NorCal.
Yeah, see,
I couldn't front.
Yeah, exactly. Can't front.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We should have taken that money and invested in Pogs. You know, yeah. That was that's going to stick around. You know, that was the next fad that came in.
Yeah.
Well, then when did it start picking up again? Then,
I think the tipping point was somewhere around 97, 98. When
it was in the X Games and stuff like that.
X Games came into play. Well, X Games was in 95. And for the first couple of years was it was getting popular, but it was considered more of a novelty because they didn't really know what they were doing.
It was such a niche thing.
Like, well, it was, and also they didn't know, you know, the people that were creating X Games were all just mainstream sports ESPN people.
Yeah.
So they were like, this is extreme. These guys, they skydive and they rock climb and
everything's extreme. Everything, like Mountain Dew's extreme.
And we were the extreme athletes. And it was like, no, we've been skating our whole lives. I don't rock climb.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't bungee jump for a living. Like, mm-hmm, yeah. We skate. And I think that after about 3 years of that, those sort of novelty events fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And so we lost the sky surfing and the eco challenge, and then the core of whatever X Games became was skateboarding, BMX, motocross.
Yeah, that what we think of X Games essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. And when that sort of turned, it was like, oh, this is what kids are into now.
Yeah,
and then right not long after that, we released our first video game with Activision.
Yes.
And that's when things
I was thinking about introducing you as the star of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
Only that one.
Yeah, just that one.
Yeah.
That was the one I played religiously.
Okay, so I could just say you're the star of Home Alone 2.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
All right. That works for me. All
right, yeah, exactly. So that when did like that deal come around? I mean, that was like probably late 90s, early 2000s, something like that?
Yeah, around 1997, I got approached by a PC programmer, mm-hmm, that said, "Hey, I want to work on maybe a skate game." And he had a little engine. It was super crude. And
I'm sure, yeah. Not,
you know, but I was like, hey, yeah, like there haven't been many skate games out there.
Yeah.
Skate
or Die.
Skate or Die was the only one that was home for Commodore 64.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Like, it was that and California Games were the only two games for home systems that had skateboarding in them.
Mm-hmm. And so rudimentary 8-bit kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, and
mm-hmm,
so this guy was like, I'm going to make a PC game. And I just said, well, okay. And so he and I went pitching it to all these different publishers and manufacturers and basically just came up against, like, scoffs.
Yeah.
Where they said, No one even skates. Why would someone play a skateboarding game?
Would somebody play a skateboarding game?
Yeah. Yes. And so that froze. He was over it because he needed to make a living. But because I went through that with him, my name got sort of put out to the video game world, mm-hmm, as someone who was trying to do a game.
Yeah, fishing, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and then I got a call from Activision maybe less than a year later, and they said, we heard you're trying to do a video game. We are going to do a skateboarding video game, and we'd like you to come see it.
And how much was your involvement? Like, it's not just slapping your name on it. I mean, were you involved in the development?
Yeah, every step of the way.
Because it seems that way. You know, yeah, like, you know, from... Yeah.
So they had... What they had was they had an engine from a game that they had already made called Apocalypse.
Okay.
And the game didn't do well. It was one of the first games that had an actual celebrity in it. So Bruce Willis was the star of Apocalypse.
All right, there you go.
And with his voice and his likeness, you know, at the time, likeness was pretty bad.
But, yeah, no, but still. Look, yeah.
But they said, you know, the game didn't do that well, but the engine was perfect for skateboarding, the motion, the way it felt, the way you controlled it. Mm-hmm. So the very first version of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater that I got to play was Bruce Willis as a character on a skateboard.
That's amazing.
Skating through a desert with a gun on his back.
That's amazing. And that
that's
was
true.
Yeah, that was the template they used.
That was what they showed me.
Because they already had the asset.
My first meeting, they showed me that. And just based on the limited controls, I was like, this is it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how it should feel. With my influence, with my resources, we could make this more legitimate, obviously. Mm-hmm. And off we went.
Oh, that's freaking crazy.
So about a year and a half later is when it got released.
Oh, wow. That's actually not a bad turnaround, you know, for game development.
Yeah, they were pretty far along.
Yeah, because they already had the engine and everything.
Yeah, but they had it. But Neversoft, to their credit, they just dove into skateboarding. Like, mm-hmm, they would go once a week, the whole crew, to the skate park.
Were you, like, teaching? Were you teaching?
Not me. No, I only went a couple times with them because they were in Woodland Hills.
I would just love to see you, like, teaching a bunch of, like,
tech
adults.
Oh, one guy broke his ankle.
Of course. That's exactly my fear.
Yeah.
It's like exactly why I don't get on a skateboard.
Yeah. And I mean, these days, like, HR would be on your back.
Yeah.
Like, they would And they'd be like, you can't make people go skateboarding.
Well, I got that skateboard right here in my living room. And I was, we were watching football last night. We're like, I'm drinking and all that stuff. And then she's like, whatever you do, don't get on that skateboard. And she went into the other room. And by the time she came back, I'm on that thing. And I look like a 5-year old, you know, like, yeah, just like on ice skates for the first time.
Well, it still looks new. So,
yeah, it's still in its wrapping.
So it didn't hit the wall. Yeah. So basically,
I went about 5 feet and I was like, no, I'm good. I think I've had a little too much to drink to jump on this.
Yeah, those don't mix.
Yeah, yeah, no shit. Like,
I remember the first time I ever went to a rave.
Oh, goodness.
So this is like maybe 1990-ish?
Yeah, that was kind of when, like, that was kind of coming.
Yeah, so we were in New Zealand on tour. I wouldn't know what a rave. They're like, hey, there's this party at this warehouse. And, you know, it's this big thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Techno music and glow sticks.
And they have a mini ramp. And I was like, yeah, let's go.
Let's go,
so
bro.
We go. I'll never forget this. And this is when I learned my lesson with drinking. We were skating this mini ramp, and they said, hey, it's last call. You know, whatever, it's a rave. When is there a last call?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
But somewhere around 2 a.m., they're like, oh, so we go, and we go to last call because we didn't really have money for drinks.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And the drinks were free for us because we were skating.
Yeah.
So we just pounded as many beers as we could. I went back to the mini ramp. I'll never forget this. Dropped in and just hit the next wall, full body. And then I was like, I can't drink and skate.
Yeah, yeah, not a good idea. Like, yeah, your the board stopped, but your inertia kept going.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it took me about a little over 10 years to figure that out, but for myself.
Oh, there you go, yeah. Well, it was, you know, a worthy experiment, it sounds like.
Yeah. Luckily it was a mini ramp.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not a full pool, you know, yeah.
No, yeah, or the 13-foot vert ramp.
Yeah, and so, yeah, you got free drink, but you got free drinks to skate at a rave?
Yeah,
that's
it. Whatever.
Yeah, cool. No, you were part of the entertainment.
1990. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, no, you're pretty much getting paid to perform. Yeah,
you don't think of raves as having much visual entertainment. Yeah, other than it's usually lights and drugs.
Yeah, drugs and glow sticks.
Yeah,
and ring pops.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I kind of stayed off the raver scene. You know, yeah, like there's only so much. Well,
You would have been tortured.
Yes.
There's just no escape.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like a Kafka-esque nightmare. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. You know, I avoided the rave scene. You know, yeah.
Yeah, well, good for you. So did I, actually. That was just my one...
Your one rave.
...flirt with it was skating a mini ramp and almost killing myself.
Oh, nice. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
You certainly learned your lesson. we were talking about, broken bones, stuff like that. Like, but do you have, like, scars? Like, you know, like that, that kind of stuff.
Well, like, my shins.
Holy
like
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That looks like a fucking cheese grater went off on it.
Yeah. Well, what it is the skateboard grip tape side. And that's from getting caught. Like, if I don't catch it right, it's from sort of bouncing around and scraping.
Oh, it's like it's like that sandpapery kind of thing?
Yeah, I got one that goes all the way down
to
the
goodness.
Sock. Yeah.
Oh, geez, dude. Wow. That looks like fucking like chicken skin. Like
a lot of stitches.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure. Oi. I'm sure.
That's where my on my elbow right here. You can see the two screws kind of sticking out.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. That's what I was asking see your old battle scars. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like. It just becomes part of you.
Yeah, no, I know. Really. See, I got you. See this little white dot right there?
Yes,
that is Joe Pesci's tooth.
No way.
Yes, it was. We were doing that scene at the end.
Yeah,
and he's like, you know, I'm gonna smash your face with an iron. I'm gonna, you know, when they finally catch me. And during rehearsal, he goes, I'm gonna bite each one of these fingers off one at a time. Like that's the line. And during the rehearsal, he bit me a little harder than he meant to, and it left a divot. And I went, ah, like. Like, and he was like, and he just realized that he bit a 9-year-old kid, and like you know, like,
yeah, that's hardcore.
I was like, kind of like bleeding a little bit, and he was like, and it was like, holy shit, and I was like, I kept my mouth shut and stuff like that. I was like, let's just do it, just don't bite me again like that, you know? Yeah, but yeah, I didn't squeal on him.
But that, what an awesome story.
Yeah, I got so, you know, we're showing off our scars.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, there's my Joe Pesci tooth scar.
So mine is this thumb right here is, you see, it's kind of fat.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't bend properly anymore. That's from fracturing it, or maybe broke it. I don't really know. But when I fell, I did a full loop ramp, and I ended up falling from the top one time.
You try to catch yourself with your hands, of course. You know, that's usually how it goes.
Yeah, I think that's when I broke my pelvis and got a concussion. So I don't remember.
Holy it a whole fuck, lot, dude.
But because of that, my signature changed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
it is your right hand. Yeah,
so I can tell my signature's... I mean, this is just your random thing, but I could tell my signatures were pre or post loop.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, probably affects your video game playing. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I can. Everything else is okay now, but it's just holding a pen and trying to get really
my goodness.
It's hard.
So you're saying it's all worth it?
Yeah, and yeah. Like, you know, that's a cool story.
Yeah,
like I was shooting Wild Boys when I did that.
Oh, okay.
Like Jackass.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
We have our battle scar wound stories.
Yes, exactly. From our work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, our work out in the field.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, no, you were talking about Tony Hawk Pro Skater. It's they did what, like 5 of those? What is it?
So there were 4 Pro Skaters, then there was Underground.
Because there were spinoffs too. Yeah,
Tony Hawk Underground 1 and 2. We did American Wasteland, Project 8. What was the other one? Proving Ground. And then we went into the board peripheral.
Tony Hawk, yeah, ride. I was going to ask about that.
That was tricky because they were on a really strict timeline to get that out.
I was watching a mini documentary about a month ago.
Yeah, and so they missed some marks and a lot of, like, they just kind of rushed it, and there were problems with the hardware. And so by the time it got released, there were just issues with syncing them.
It wasn't well received.
Well received.
Because the idea is there. Like,
the
idea
was there. And the idea for me was that board could be used as also a snowboard or a surfboard in sequels, mm-hmm. right? So the next year they released Shred, which was snowboarding and skating.
Mm-hmm.
And that game was the game that I had wanted the first one to be.
Gotcha.
Like everything was dialed in. It worked right.
Well, they had extra time.
They had extra time. Yeah. And it really was like it was more like more branching out than just skateboarding. So, but that game got released. It was already scarred from the first one because it got such shitty reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by the time it got released, everyone was over peripherals.
Yeah.
Like Guitar Hero was done.
I was just about to say everybody has like a dusty Rock Band.
That was pretty much it.
In their garage.
Like, they're like, we don't want another giant peripheral.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, it was cute. It's like a fad.
It was, yeah. Yeah, kind of
like,
yeah.
You'll see. It was like skateboarding, like, you know, the lean years, and then yeah, then next thing you know, the peripherals will all be back.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was the end. Pretty much the end of the series at that point. And then about let's see, that was 2009. Like 4 years later, we released Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5,
mm-hmm.
which again was rushed. And didn't have the same motion or coding as all the previous games, so that one wasn't well received either.
See, you much really do it right than have it on time. You know,
right?
Like that's the way.
Right.
Like that's the way the philosophy should.
And
be.
I wasn't in control of any of that.
Yeah.
And,
no. At this point, it's like it's just like more of a licensing deal that you have than anything else.
It was, but I wanted to be that. I really did want. I was trying to monitor the quality, and I was trying to play it every step of the way. But the way the technology was going, it wasn't allowing me to get the builds in time
because
I'd be traveling all. I mean, it's partly my fault too. I was traveling all the time, so I didn't get the newest one to be able to make comments. And so,
didn't they have to do a bug fix on day one? Like essentially out of the package.
Huge.
Essentially, yeah. It was like it didn't work when it came out of the box.
It worked, but there was they called it a patch.
Yeah,
it was like a full download of the game.
No, it was as big of a file.
A
as
big
the
of a
game
file.
Itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was all on the developer side where they were trying to rush it, and it was such a bummer because it was like, oh, we've got this, you know, we've got this opportunity,
I
fought for it to be called Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5
because
they're like, no, we want it to be something else. I was like, no, it's 5th one in the series of the 4, and they're like, they finally agreed, and then we came out and people were like,
no more.
Yeah. So that was the last one we did.
What year was that? It was like 2006 or something.
That was, I think that was 2004. When was that? Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. I want to say it was 14, maybe.
Oh wow! So yeah, I didn't realize it went that like late. You know, yeah.
Maybe it was 13.
Like I stopped playing at 2, but I also kind of stopped playing as many video games in general.
It might have been 2012 or 13.
Were you good at the games?
15. Yeah. I was. Yeah, I still am. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Every once in a while, someone will bust one out. In fact, these guys
here's my PlayStation.
Yeah, that happened to me and in Brazil last month. I was doing an interview with these guys, and like, oh, do you remember this game? They pulled out Pro Skater 2.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, of course. And he's like, did you play it? I go, yeah, of course I did. And he's like, do you want to play it right now? I'm like, well, I don't know. He's like, well, there's one right here in this tent.
Ta-da!
Set up. Yeah, and then they hand me a controller.
Yeah, yeah.
So luckily,
but it was like you know, getting back on a bike.
Come back, I have quick? Certain techniques in it that I know I can score high.
Gotcha.
And yeah. I know the special tricks. I'm not like the master at every single map or everything. Yeah. But if I need to score points, I can score big points.
So do you play as yourself?
I do play with myself. So, I mean, I play as myself.
I was going to say, do you play with yourself then? Yes. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
That's my choice. I'd rather play me than someone else. How's that?
There you go. Yeah. Well, you don't want to play Bam Margera. You know. I'm not going to ask you about him.
Yeah, I hope the best for Bam.
Me too. Me too. I don't even know the guy. I don't even know the fella, but yeah, me too. All right, cool. It's time for another dynamic ad. And then this is the last one, kids. So don't worry about it. All right. Enjoy things. And we're back. We're back with Mr. Tony Hawk, star of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5.
That's okay. I the story is not a secret. I mean, I openly tell it, and I take just as much blame as anyone.
No, I know. Like I said, I watched like a little like YouTube documentary about like about a month ago, unrelated to this interview. It was kind of just like, you know, like what happened, you know,
right.
You know, what happened. Like that kind of thing.
And yeah. Well, I hope I get another chance. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I was gonna ask like whether or not there's anything like anything like that on the horizon that like, you don't have to talk about it too.
I'm open to it. Let's put it that way.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Hear that, kids? Tony Hawk's open to anything. So we actually we asked some people online questions for you. Okay. I actually have not looked these over, so this was just handed to me. Here's one. This was Anthony J. Moran or whatever. His name is a hot dog a sandwich?
You know what? I guess someone else asked me that recently, and I think my answer was yes. But I'm gonna
yes.
I've since determined no. Hot dog's just its own unique category.
Yeah, I mean,
same with hamburger.
I was about to say like, yeah, you never really see hamburger sandwich like on a menu. Like,
unless you're in Europe or something. But then that's because they make it wrong.
Unless it's broken English.
Yeah, like, it's just because they're making bad ones, so they call it a sandwich.
Hey, honey, can you get me a hot dog sandwich?
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with because it's such a proprietary bun shape.
Yeah,
but you're not putting deli meat instead of a hot dog.
Yeah, but
bun.
Like a pulled pork sandwich, you know, is on a bun,
but not a hot dog bun.
Okay, so well, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, where's the line from bun?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking. Okay, yeah. So, all right, there you go.
Why is that the question always comes up?
I don't know. It's everybody. It's on the tip of everybody's everyone's tongue. Oh, what was your favorite music track from one of your games? There we go. That's from.
Oh wow. Yeah. I think the soundtrack that people remember most is from the second one.
Yeah.
But I would say that the one I'm most proud of putting on the series is Police Truck, because I never thought I could get Dead Kennedys to a bigger audience.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, you know, the idea that I got a punk track to be one of the anthems of this game and the one that people recognize is very cool to me, because I grew up listening to Dead Kennedys.
Yeah.
But in terms of newer music at the time, Mill and Colin No Cigar was always my favorite, like, newer track.
I the one I remember most is Amoeba. And because we would sing along to it, but it was Tony Hawk.
Yes.
Tony. Am I the only one did that, or is that a common
thing?
I
actually skated to that song in a contest a long, long, long time ago, way before the video game, and I chose that song, and the announcer started singing it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Okay, good. It's like one of those things, like, remember we were kids, we were playing Nintendo or whatever, and we all, like, when it didn't work, we'd take out the cartridge and blow on it and put it back in, right?
Right.
Who told you to do that? I think everybody independently came up with that idea.
Yeah.
But isn't that a weird kind of parallel evolution? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, everybody independently started singing, well, there's that Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I guess there's the whole Mandela effect. You heard that?
Yes. Yeah. The Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, exactly.
But for some reason we all like heard the same lyrics. That, and I remember Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two that
Really, so that was another one. Like, I was a Motorhead fan, and the idea that we brought Motorhead to a whole new audience was very cool to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's see, what do we have? What's the most useless talent you have? That's what Natorius wants to know.
I can blow bubbles off my tongue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Like, I don't know if I can do it now, but...
Okay.
No.
Oh, I saw the... I see you. I know, but I see you making the
bubbles. I need to get the right like texture.
Get a lube up a little bit.
Yeah. And it really grosses people out, but every once in a while I'll do it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I wish I could. Okay, Megan Levy asked, did you ever play Tony Hawk Pro Skater for Nintendo 64?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yes. When we first did the series, I didn't know any better, and I had a 64. I didn't have a PlayStation, and mm-hmm. so I said, oh, yeah, we're going to make this for 64 first, right? And they're like, no.
No.
There's a million PlayStation, or there's, you know.
Yeah, no, discs are in.
But there are many more PlayStations in the world. We want to reach that audience first.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll do a 64 version. And I'll never forget the day that they announced it. They sent me an email first. They're like, you get what you wanted.
Yeah, you did it.
Nintendo 64, yeah.
You did it. Nice.
I love that system.
Let's see. Martin Swinkles asks, can you really spin on poles or is that just a pro skater thing? Can you spin on a pole?
I think she means fire hydrants or he.
Yeah, spin on poles, or is that just a Tony Hawk Pro Skater thing?
I think they're referring to spinning. Not a spin is a trick that you, like, there's a guy named Natas Kappas. Mm-hmm. He had a famous video part where he ollied up onto a fire hydrant and spun around on it, like, a few times, and then came off of it.
Yeah.
And so we put that trick in the game, and we call it the Natas spin.
Ah.
And so you can do it on any sort of sharp,
Something pointy,
right? Yeah. But its initial creation was from a fire hydrant. So the answer is yes on a fire hydrant.
So you could do it?
I've never done a Natas spin.
All right.
Do you know why I've never done it? Because I was afraid to hit my shins.
I'd be afraid of hitting my junk. Like, for
not
real.
I'm tall enough that I know I'm not going to hit my junk, but I'm worried I'm going to hit my shin on the way down.
I've seen your shin, sir.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yes, that's it.
I would be afraid too. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I'd be afraid of the nuts part, I think. You know,
That's always a concern too.
I lived in Paris for a couple of years, and they have like some of those poles that kind of come up like along the sidewalk. Oh, yeah, sometimes they have a little like horse head on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where, like, you know, look, you're walking around at night, you got some wine in your belly, and you're with some friends, and like you try to like leapfrog it, right?
Yep.
And so all my friends, you know, they lived in France their whole life, kind of thing. They go, don't do that. And I'm like, why? Is it inappropriate? And they're like, no, you're going to hurt yourself. I'm like, no, I won't. And then bam. Totally hit my nuts like the next one. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, I think it's because every single French kid did the same thing.
Sure. And it catches your pants by, like, that's, you know.
You're up there. Like,
those are all over Europe.
Yeah, it feels like an hour, and it's really just, it's like 2 seconds. But yes, I have a fear of that now. But I just love how they were all like, don't do that, because they all did the exact same thing and all hit their nuts and all got caught up there. Like,
well, it's a rite of passage. You can feel very Parisian now.
Yes, exactly. Again, that's what I mean. Like, oh, I lived in France. Do you still drive the Pizza Hut truck from Gleaming the Cube?
I wish. The funny thing about that is, Gleaming the Cube, I was the Pizza Hut guy or the Pizza Hut driver.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where we're basically confronting the bad guys, so to speak, and I'm at the helm with the Pizza Hut truck, and all the skaters are skating down behind me down this really steep hill.
Mm-hmm.
And when the time came to shoot that scene, there were only a handful of people that could actually skate down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to stunt double for an extra.
So you were chasing yourself?
So there was a stunt driver in the truck. It was all very like Inception, because now I was supposed to be a married character. Now I'm stunt doubling for a guy that couldn't skate down the hill, and I have this scar right here on my elbow.
Well, there's another one
from that scene.
Oh, because it sounds like a steep hill.
It was very steep. Yeah. And the last take, I what we call Pete Rose. I did a Superman down.
See again. Yeah. This is why I don't skate. You keep all your scars remind me, like, why you never got into it? You know, why I got into the acting, you know, like other things. Which one is your favorite Tony Hawk game and why? That this is a question from Chris. Just Chris.
I think through all the years, when I go back to number 2, that's my favorite, mostly because it put us on the map.
Yeah, that was the big one.
It set us up as a franchise. And it was everything that we wanted the first one to be.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the technology's, you know, much more primitive, obviously, The idea that we were able to create that, and that suddenly it was like skateboarding can be a genre of video game.
Yeah, I mean, it was so fluid, and it was dynamic too, where it's kind of just like, because there were just so many different things you could do, different routes you could
go. And then just so much opportunity after that in terms of what else we could do.
I remember just looking at this, I forget which board it was, but just pretty much constantly just doing loops over and over, like kind of just going around the whole board, the edge of the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And just constantly just, you know, jumping and hitting every button, jumping and hitting every button. Exactly. Just kind of like, okay, how long can I keep this going? Because it's like, I know I'm going to eat shit if I keep this going for too long. So like,
yeah, you get greedy on the combos.
Exactly. Yeah. Get really greedy on the combos. And it's like, yeah, before I totally lose this, like, you know, 2 billion score, like I got, let me, and of course, like then like, yeah, you just land slightly sideways and like, there it goes. There, yeah. All it takes is one tiny mistake. And that was one of my favorite parts of that game.
Like, yeah.
So, what do you do with your days lately? You know, like, what's your life?
Well, like I said, we still have a couple kids at home, so our days start pretty early, getting them off to school.
Mm-hmm.
And
how old's the youngest?
11. She's the only girl.
Gotcha. I have one sister in my family right now, and I feel so bad because I'm third of seven, and so there's just nothing but boys.
Like, oh yeah, yeah.
I feel bad. I feel for her. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she likes it because, you know, she's special because of that, but also she has older brothers, so. Mm-hmm. We get them off to school. I'll take care of whatever I need to do in the morning in terms of communication, emails, interviews. I don't know, whatever it is you know, that needs,
running your empire.
Yeah, I guess so. And then, if I find time to skate somewhere midday.
I was going to ask, like, yeah, so you skate like every day kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. Even if it's just sort of a mellow session, that's my only form of exercise.
Yeah.
So,
and what's like? How long is a mellow session? Like an hour?
Usually, it's like an hour and a half with a few buddies.
Oh, cool.
And then somewhere around
few buddies, few beers.
No beers. No more rave slams. And then usually in the afternoon, I just try to make it back home by the time kids get out of school to be available to them, because I travel so much that if I'm home, I really want to be.
You want to be dad.
Yeah, and not just on the phone or.
Yeah.
You know, texting and whatnot. Like, I want them to know that I am available to hang out with them. And so I try to get everything done. Yeah. And funny, because my ramp, I have my own ramp, like big ramp at a warehouse. Sometime around 3 o'clock, so that's when
all you have your house and then you have your like warehouse.
Big ramp. Yeah.
Yeah. Dig it. And around 3 o'clock.
And around 3 o'clock is when all of the sort of younger generation wants to skate my ramp. And I'm talking about like the best other the top contemporary vert skaters.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to have already been skating then, because I don't like waiting a turn for my ramp.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And all those guys, I mean, that's like, I call it the X Games finals. Like at 3 o'clock, it's just...
It's really just
the best of the best. Yeah, and it's just like, it's awesome to watch, but it's daunting to get into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, and you have your own line of boards, obviously, still.
Yeah, Birdhouse. We are on 27 years now.
Oh, jeez.
Which is like impossibly long for a skateboard company these days.
Yeah.
But I'm proud that we're still making it work, and I've got a really good team, like an insane team of pros. And
how many kind of like boards do you have? Like, how many types of boards?
I'm sure
it's like the hundreds or the thousands.
Well, we have 8 different pro skaters on the team, including Lizzie Armanto, who is actually going to be in the Olympics next year.
Oh, cool.
We have, you know, plenty of options for all skills
and
styles,
just designs, whatever. And things like that too.
Yeah. And then I have a foundation that builds public skate parks in low income areas.
Oh, cool.
Which has been going for, let's see, 17 years now.
Well, geez, it's almost ready for college.
It is, yeah. Yeah. And we've been more effective. I mean, we helped to fund over 900 skate parks now. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's really cool. So, yeah, that's a fine way to fill your day. You know, family, skating, charity. Yeah.
It is. I mean, it is weird to think that my true job description is still professional skateboarder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm 51.
You're in your 50s.
Yeah, it's just not anything that anyone would ever expect, but I'm proud of it. And
no, I mean, it's fucking awesome. Like, yeah, it's so unique. I mean, you're the pioneer. Yeah. Like how many
people
can say
that?
And
just the idea that people even think I'm relevant is awesome to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also, it's funny because there's also this novelty where it's just like, oh, it's crazy, he still skates. Mm-hmm. And then they see me skate and they're like, oh, he still does like good tricks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get it's, I guess I could take advantage of that and cruise on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just, you know, playing the hits. Like, yeah, I still do the grinds and stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah. I think if I got to that stage, I wouldn't feel proud about it. And I would probably just sort of step back from the spotlight.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'd still skate, but I wouldn't be on display.
Yeah. I went to a Debbie Harry concert one time, but it was like, you know, a couple of years back. And it was like, just nothing but the hits. There it was. It was like she literally had a boombox on the stage.
And yeah,
just,
yeah.
We're singing like Heart of Glass and Rapture, and like, and it's like just like.
As long as she's digging it, though, you know what I mean. Like, yeah. If I were doing that and I really did enjoy it,
yeah.
But I always
it felt like she was doing us a favor, but, you know.
Yeah, it yeah.
That kind of, it
yeah.
That,
it's a fine line. I think it's just more that I've always prided myself on being progressive and learning new stuff,
mm-hmm.
and so if I'm not doing that in some form, then I would feel like
you're just going through the motions.
Through the motions, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you have to hit the road. Thank you for coming down to from San Diego.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Up from San Diego.
Up, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes.
From San Diego.
I actually lived, for lack of a better term, right near here for Gleaming the Cube.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I rented the back house of a friend of mine.
A little bungalow.
Yeah, like because they hired me as a local talent. They, you mm-hmm. know, they didn't hire me as someone that they had to put up in a hotel.
Gotcha, yeah, yeah.
So I had to find my own place to live.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 18 or 19. It was mm-hmm. bizarre to yeah. like be thrust into. I mean, you did it at a much younger age.
Yeah, yeah, tell me more about it.
Yeah, but for me, to come from a skateboard perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly like, you're going to be in a movie for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I live in LA? What is going on?
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, welcome back to North Hollywood.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. 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 No, thanks again for doing this. You want to plug anything, like your social media, like any of your companies? Anything like that?
I'm just Tony Hawk out there, at Tony Hawk. Oh, on all platforms.
Oh, yeah. Like, what a coincidence.
Yeah. I had to send not a cease and desist, but a very a plea to Twitter to get my name because someone parked it.
Yeah, yeah, they do that shit all the time.
Yeah, but they got it for me, so.
No, that's why for me, I'm at Incredible Kulk.
That's pretty good
on Twitter, because I'm not gonna like mess around with that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm also at Kulkamania on Instagram. You know, yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, they always say it's a bad idea to like have separate ones just for business reasons yeah. and stuff like that. I was like, doesn't matter.
But you're really hanging your hat on Hulk Hogan there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, also, let's see, what am I also going to plug? Oh, yeah. We have a phone number that you guys should call. There it is. I found it. They tease me because I always forget my own phone number. But yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because we ask the audience to like send in voicemails. We play them at the very, very end. So here's the number, kids. It's 845-393-4629. That's 845-EZE-HOAX, because we all know it never happened.
Oh, my God.
And,
wow.
And yeah, thanks again, dude.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thanks, man.
Let's do it again.
Appreciate it.
Peace.
McGee. Yo, it's Jazz Vengeance saying what's up. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Hey, Mac. This is Erica from South Texas. Love your show. Just heard Seth Green and you on the second time on the show. Love it. And we'll definitely watch Changeland. Love your show. I love you. Bye.
Find me, gag me, take me to the bunny ranch.
You are freaking lumberjack!
Oh my God.
Let's kung fu!
So I know you've got a lot going on, But remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.